My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Such an important passage of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 4. And we started a series last week, and we're going to just go deeper this week, called The Heart of the Matter. And it's because, as you see here in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow or spring the issues of life. This verse, and it's a truth all throughout the Bible, is showing us that the heart is the most important thing. Our heart is the most important thing. And that's why the Bible is saying here, whatever you do, with all diligence, you need to be careful. You need to work at this. You need to be diligent to cultivate, to protect what's going on in your heart. Because our heart, it says, is the source of every other thing in our life. Our heart is the spring, is, if you will, the source of the spring where everything else flows. Whatever's going on in your heart is what's going to affect your life. Whatever is on the inside of you will end up manifesting on the outside of you. And so God is showing us here that our heart is the very source, the very core that affects everything else. If you will, the heart is the cause, and the things going on in our life is the effect. Our heart is the soil. It's where things are rooted. And your life and the very things in your life and the results of your life, that's the fruit. Just like roots are hidden under the surface, so your heart is hidden on the inside of you. Now, we're not talking about your physical heart, are we? You know, see, if you have a heart problem, you go to the heart doctor, right? And you get like an EKG or whatever. You go into the doctor's office, they test your heart and such. And they're going to see what's going on with your heart. We're not talking about the physical heart. The Bible's not talking about your physical heart. But you know, your physical heart's super important too, huh? I mean, if this ticker stops working, you're going to go somewhere else, huh? But it's the same way spiritually. Your heart is the core of you. Biblically speaking, when the Bible talks about your heart, it's talking about the innermost part of you, the seat, the central place where your thoughts are and your emotions and your desires and your motives, where your attitudes are, your perspective on life. And all of those things affect everything else in your life. Everything else flows from your heart, from the innermost part of you. In fact, it's very interesting, this verse here in verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The issues of life. Now, that's an interesting translation. It's not a bad one, but it's not real clear, is it? The issues of life. The best way to translate that word issues is actually territories. That actually the limits of your life, the territory that you will take, is set by what's going on in your heart. Let me say it another way. The condition of your heart will determine the outcome of your life. The condition of your heart will determine the outcome of your life. What's going on inside of you will actually determine how much you receive from God and how much you produce for God. It will determine how much you're able to receive from the Lord of the blessings and the promises that He wants in your life, and how fruitful you will be in your life. How much in terms of fulfilling your calling and your purpose and being a blessing as well. Your heart and the condition of your heart, what's in your heart will determine that. The condition of your heart will determine the outcome of your life. See, a lot of times we think that it's the external things of life that are affecting us. Because we're looking from the inside out, even with our own eyes, we are so good at looking at external circumstances, aren't we? Because we're looking from the inside out, we're good at seeing what's wrong with the world, what's wrong with the neighborhood, what's wrong with other people. We're really good at seeing the problems. We're really good at seeing what's wrong with other people because we're looking from the inside out. We're really good at seeing how other people affect us, aren't we? How what they said, what they did, what they didn't do, and how it affected me. We're good at that, huh? Because we're looking from the inside out and we're seeing other people and what they do and how they affect us. We're really good at that. We're really good at seeing how circumstances, right, our boss's decisions or society or economically or the things going on in society, just life stuff, family stuff. We're good at seeing how that affects us. And the problem is with that is we're not very good at seeing how we affect our life. We're not very good at seeing how we affect other people. We're not very good at seeing how we actually affect the circumstances. Think about how Jesus said this. Jesus was a master at getting to the heart of the matter. Jesus was a master at cutting to the heart of the matter. Listen to the way he says it in Matthew 7, verse 3. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Now, obviously, Jesus is dealing with people who are judging other people. But we usually think of this in a very religious sense. And we usually think of this like, hey, don't judge people. Don't judge me, right? But notice what Jesus actually says. Why? Do you notice he asks a question. Do you see that? And he begins his question with, why? And look at the question he's actually asking. He's not just saying, don't do that. He's challenging us with a question. Listen to this question again. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye? Why do you do that? And why don't you consider or look at the plank that's in your own? You see what he's doing? Listen, the question why, the word why, it cuts to the heart of the matter. Why is a very powerful question. Why cuts to the cause? What's the cause of the effect? Why cuts to the motive? And that's exactly what Jesus is doing here. He was a master at it. If you've ever read the Gospels, you probably notice how many questions Jesus asks. He asks a lot of questions. And most of the time, he starts his question with, why? In fact, it was so frustrating being a disciple of Jesus. They'd ask him a question, he'd answer a question with a question. Because he cares more about what's going on inside of us and our heart response, what we believe, what we value, how we perceive him, how we perceive ourselves, how we perceive others. He's more concerned with our heart often than even our actions. You know, Jesus was all about the heart, wasn't he? He was saying, oh yeah, you guys say don't commit adultery. I say don't lust in your heart. Why? Because he knew sin begins in the heart. Adultery begins in the heart with lust. Murder begins in the heart with hate. See? He knew that the problems of this world, whether it be problems in marriage or problems in politics or problems in society, were heart problems. Heart problems. We think, oh, the problem's racism. No, the problem is something in the heart. Devaluing human beings. Pride. Thinking I'm better. See? Greed. Lust for power. Heart problems. Jesus said, in all the sin of this world, it all flows from the heart. Which is why last week, if you remember, we talked about what Jesus did first and foremost. He dealt with the heart problem by going to the cross. This is why the cross is so vital. This is why we started the series last week by talking about the heart of the matter. is actually at the cross. That if all the problems of this world flow from the heart, then what did he do first? He solved the heart of the problem. The heart. By saving us from our sin, giving us his righteousness so that our spirit is born again and our spirit is righteous in Christ now. And now we can love God. Now we can walk in the Spirit, overcome sin, and please God and see the world transformed. Jesus, did you notice that Jesus did not come and change a political system? Even though he's going to be the king over all this world. Jesus did not come and set up schools. Even though he's called the teacher. And schools are good. He wasn't a businessman. He wasn't a politician. Right? What did he do? He saved the souls of people. Why is that? Because he knew if he's going to change the world, he's got to change the world at the heart of the matter. The source of the problem, our own hearts. You see? So this is what we started with last week. We saw that Jesus is the Savior of our hearts and that those of us who are in Christ, we have a righteous spirit. We're born again and now we can walk in the Spirit and we can do these things. Now you see Jesus, not only the Savior of our hearts, he wants to be the leader of our hearts, doesn't he? And notice what he's doing here in Matthew 7:3. Why? He's cutting to the heart of the matter. He's cutting to our motives. He wants us to see that we affect other people. That we affect situations. And so he says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but not consider the plank in your own eye? Do you get what he's trying to get us to do? He's actually saying, now listen, how come you're not thinking about your actions and how you affect other people? How come you are looking at how what they said, but you're not considering what you said? You're thinking about how the circumstances are affecting you, but you're not considering how you are affecting the circumstances. See, we see from the inside out, and so it's so easy for us to see a problem with somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's easy to see the piece of food in their teeth, right? It's easy to see the booger hanging from their nose. You get what I'm saying? But it's not easy to see the problem that we're facing. It's not easy for us to see how we're affecting other people. Do you get what I'm saying? So what we think is we think the circumstances are affecting us, but the Bible is saying, no, actually, everything's flowing from your heart. And so actually your heart, your perception, your attitude, your belief system, your values is actually affecting your world more than you are affected by your world. You are affecting your relationships more than the other person is affecting that relationship, or they are doing it equally so. Our heart is what affects everything else. See, we think it's a finance problem, but it's a heart problem. We think it's a relationship problem, a marriage problem, but it's a heart problem. We think it's a them problem, but it's an us problem. Okay, so if you've ever been to LA, you're driving on the freeway, it's crazy. There's a ton of people there. I mean, it'll be like the middle of the night. You're thinking, oh yeah, no problem. No problem. I'm gonna just go somewhere in the middle of the night and there'll be no cars. And there's cars everywhere. Everywhere. You I'm telling you, LA, from my house where I used to live, downtown LA, was just only like 25 miles. I mean, sometimes you could get there, bam, really quick. And yet it would take hours. I've been stuck in downtown LA trying to get out. It's horrible. I'm thinking like, my goodness, no wonder they made that movie Escape from LA, right? And here's how we all talk on the freeway if you're in LA. Where are all these people going? Right? If anyone's ever been in traffic, you know what I'm saying. But you've done this in other areas of your life. What are these people doing? Go home? What are you doing? Right? But what's so funny is we're on the same freeway going somewhere. You get what I'm saying? We're so good at seeing other people and how they affect us and not realizing you're the dude in front of the other guy. Right? It's like that scripture. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. It's not a scripture. I'm just messing around. You guys know what I'm talking about? I'm not singing it. I'm not dancing. But you guys know what I'm saying, right? Michael Jackson. He was smart. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. In fact, listen to this scripture right here. Proverbs 27, 19. This is interesting. As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. Do you see what Jesus is saying? Hey, how come you're always looking at other people and you're not looking at you? We need to look at our own heart. We need to look at the plank in our own eye, the problem we might be causing, the thing that we're saying. See, we think, here, let me say it another way. You think that the person is reacting to, no, let me say it differently. We look at the actions of people and how they affect us, but we don't think maybe they're actually reacting to something you did or said. We think they're the cause and we're the effect, that they're affecting us, but maybe you're the cause and they're the effect. And Jesus is saying, look at the plank in your eye. Look at your heart. You might be the cause. And really, he's saying you are. You have a part to play. You have a part to play. The fruit of your life, the results of your life are flowing from your heart. See, we want to think that the circumstances outweigh that, don't we? But the reality is we all know that there can be two people with the same circumstances, and one will make a good choice and one will make a bad choice, right? I'll just give you a hypothetical situation, but we all know stories like this. Two people lose their legs in battle, right? They lay their life down in the military to protect their country or something like that. Lose their legs in battle. They come back, one man, depressed, drinks, doesn't move forward in life. The other man, gonna get up, exercise, get an education, work, get a prosthetic legs or something like that, maybe even run a marathon or something. You ever seen people like that? They just seem to overcome obstacles. I mean, come on. You see somebody, they've lost their leg. I saw one time in like one of those YouTube videos, I saw this dude with one leg and he had like a crutch and he was hauling bricks around in a wheelbarrow, like a boss, just hopping around with the wheelbarrow and working so hard, harder than I've seen people with four legs. No, I'm just messing, right? I mean, I saw this guy's working. And you know, the Bible says hunger drives a man to work. It's true. But that's a guy who would have all the excuses, right? I live in a country where there's not good economy. I only have one leg. And yet, man, that guy's working. I don't know if he was a good guy or not. You know, I don't know if he was providing for his family, but we've all seen people come to this country with nothing and make something of themselves. Why is that? Why? What I'm saying is our heart and our perspective and our attitude and our decisions affect our world, affect other people more than we realize. That's all I'm saying. And I love how Jesus, with that one simple question, why, cuts to the heart of the matter. Let me say it again. The condition of your heart will determine the outcome of your life. The condition of your heart will determine the outcome of your life. You guys know the parable. It's very, very famous parable because it was really at the core of Jesus' teachings, but it's the parable of the sower sowing the seed in four different soils, right? Remember that Jesus tells a story in Matthew 13 of a farmer that goes out and puts seed everywhere. And some of the seed falls on hard ground, some on rocky ground, some on thorny ground, some on good ground. And Jesus describes the outcome. It's the same farmer, it's the same seed, but it's different soils. And Jesus says very clearly that it's the heart. See, Jesus made it very clear in this parable. He made it very clear in his preaching that this is the way it would come up. I want to do these things in your life. I want to help you. And I'm not the problem. See, we think God is the problem. We think, how come my prayers aren't being answered? Must be God. How come this hasn't happened yet in my life? Must be God. We want to blame other people. We want to blame the circumstances. And Jesus is saying, no, it's your heart. It's your heart. And so he says it this way in verse 14 and 15, he says, starting in verse 15, he says, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them." He's saying the problem is so often the understanding is not there in our hearts. Now, this is Jesus. He's trying to preach the gospel. He's trying to get us to understand. So you got to understand something about the why question. He's never condemning. That's what I love about Jesus. We're not talking about Jesus walking around and judging people and condemning them. He always asks the why question. He always gets to the heart of matter because he wants to free us, because he wants to heal us, because he wants to see the blessing in our life. Do you see what I'm saying? Think about with Peter. Remember Peter was walking on water? I mean, last time I checked, I'd never done that before, you know? And Peter is walking on the water to Jesus because Jesus had told him, "Hey, come, walk on water, come to me." And the power of God went into operation and Peter starts walking on water by faith. I mean, I'd never done that before. And he's walking on water, and all of a sudden he gets afraid. There's wind, there's waves. I mean, there's a storm. And I think he probably started thinking, "What am I doing? Why am I out here? This is not physically possible," right? And he started thinking about his science teacher explaining the physics of water. No, I'm joking, right? And all of a sudden he gets into his natural reasoning, and he says, "Wave bigger than me." And all of a sudden, what happens? You know the story. He starts sinking. And he's singing, "Ah, Jesus!" And he cries out to Jesus, and Jesus grabs him by the hand. And what does Jesus say? He grabs him by the hand, and if you know the story, he pulls him up out of the water, and he says, "What? Why?" He says, "Why were you doubting?" He says, "Ah, little faith." He says, "Come on, little faith, why were you doubting?" Now, why did Jesus say that? Was he condemning him? Or was he lovingly correcting him? Listen, he picked him up out of the water because I think I know what we would think if Jesus didn't say anything. We'd be like, "See, that's what happens when you try to walk on water. That's why people shouldn't be walking on water." But Jesus told him to do it. See, sometimes we think, "Man, I was going for it with God. I was doing something for the Lord," and then boom, opposition happened. Fear came into our hearts and we say, "Oh, I shouldn't do it anymore. I shouldn't do it. I'm afraid." But what's the Lord saying? "No, no, no. I told you to do it. And I was right there with you. Nothing is impossible. You can do what I've called you to do." But what's Jesus trying to say? Why did you doubt? Why did you let that fear into your heart? Why did you begin to reason that wave was bigger than you? Why did you begin to reason that the laws of physics were somehow more powerful than the one who created the laws of physics? And all of a sudden, Peter had to confront who? Himself. He had to realize it wasn't the wind and the waves. And it wasn't Jesus that was the problem. It wasn't the power of God's word. Because we do that too, don't we? We think, "Man, is the gospel true? Well, if the Bible's true, then how come I'm not seeing the results in my life?" And Jesus is trying to help us to understand the problem is not me. The problem is not the power of my word. You got to face something going on in your own heart. Now, I love this about Jesus because the Bible says that God corrects those he loves, which means that he really liked Peter. You get what I'm saying? He loved Peter enough to invite Peter out on the water and enough to correct Peter. If God didn't love us, well, there's a lot of things he wouldn't do, but he wouldn't correct us either. If Jesus, I mean, some people, they kind of be like, "Oh, man, God's out to try to get me." Man, if God was out to get you, you would have already been got, right? Man, if God didn't love us, we'd already be goners. But the Lord comes alongside of us to say, "Hey, what's going on in your heart? Why are you doing that? Why are you thinking that way? Why? Because he didn't want Peter to walk on water one time. He wanted Peter to walk on water as a lifestyle. And I mean that as a metaphor, not just walk on water. I mean to do the supernatural, to do the impossible. God wants you to break through and break into a lifestyle where you're walking in his blessings and stepping into the territory and the promises that God has for you. But he knows it's your heart that can limit you from taking territory. He knows it's your heart that can keep you from the blessing. It's your heart that can deceive you into thinking that you're right and other people are wrong, and it can ruin your relationships. And so Jesus lovingly comes alongside to say, why are you thinking that way? Why are you saying that? Why are you doing that? And he's cutting to the heart of the matter. He would do this all the time. All the time. I don't have time to give you other examples. But he would do this to the Pharisees. He wasn't condemning the Pharisees. He would expose them. Why are you thinking that way? Because they were so religious and thinking in terms of human traditions, thinking that God was not a good and loving God. And Jesus would just cut to the heart and he would expose what's going on the inside of them. But back to Matthew 13. I'm just going to run through this really quick. You know the story that Jesus says some of the seed falls on hard soil. Some of the seed falls on good soil. Some of the seed falls on rocky soil. Some of the seed falls on thorny soil. And what he's saying is that the condition of your heart will determine the outcome of your life. If your heart is hard, you won't even be able to receive what God has for you. If your heart is rocky, you'll receive it, but when trials come, you'll get offended at God. He says, you might receive it, but if you have thorny soil, those thorns, the distractions, the greed, the lust of this world, the anxiety and the fear and the worry of this life will choke the seed out and you won't see breakthrough in your life. But here's what we do, don't we? Blame the trials. And we blame the thorns. We blame the distractions of this life and the busyness of this life. And we say, that's why. And we blame the people problems. It's because those people hurt me, or because of that trial that I'm going through, or because the devil's attacking me. And we want to say it's everything out there. But notice what Jesus is saying. For example, with the rocky soil, he says, verse 20, but he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. Listen to this. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. What is he saying? He's saying that this person, they come to church, they get excited. Yeah, the word, yeah. And then, and this always happens, then they have an argument after church and they even forget what the sermon was about. This is what the devil does. He sends some people problems. Send somebody to make you get offended or something, and it gets us so distracted and offended and angry that we don't walk in the Spirit. But notice where the problem is. Was the problem the persecution or the tribulation? Was the problem the outside, or was it the problem on the inside? He says this, verse 21, yet he has no root in himself. Tribulation, persecution, hard times, they're going to come. Opportunities to be offended, gonna come if you live with people. There are distractions in this world. Doesn't matter if you live 2,000 years ago or now. Might be a little bit more distracting now with those phones, but there's gonna be distractions, period. Busyness, greed, the deceitfulness of wealth. Jesus is talking to those people. He's talking to us. He's saying all that stuff's there already. But he says the choice is how you respond to it. Your heart is the cause that can affect. See, so rather than letting these other things affect us, he's saying, no, let your heart be the cause that affects the world. So the tribulations and the persecutions come, but if you have roots, if your heart is rooted in God, your heart is rooted in the Word, you won't be shaken. And so that's why he says that the people who receive the seed, the word of God, and produce fruit, see results, see answers to prayer, see the blessings of God come past in their life, those are the people who have good soiled hearts. What is he saying? It's your heart and the condition of your heart that determines the outcome of your life. You know, it's interesting. The people who have a hard heart are the ones that don't know they have a hard heart. A drunk person doesn't know they're drunk. A person who has a rocky heart and who's offended at other people, right? A person who doesn't trust people and who's offended at other people, they don't know that they're offended at other people. They don't know it. Because they think other people are the problem. Do you see what I'm saying? A person who's distracted by the things of this world and consumed by the temporal lusts and greed of this world, they don't know what they're missing. They don't know that they're missing out in eternity. See, when you're distracted, you don't know that you're distracted. So what do you need? You got to be sobered up, don't you? And that's what Jesus does. He comes alongside and he says, why are you thinking that way? What's going on in your heart? One time I was driving, this is about a year ago, I'm driving John David somewhere, and I was completely distracted, completely distracted. I was trying to find the place. I had the phone on. I'm trying to look at the map for the driving. I was new to St. Louis and such, but it had nothing to do with the phone, and it had nothing to do with the directions on the phone and such. I was distracted emotionally. There was just stuff going on. I was kind of emotional, and I was thinking about this, and I was feeling bad, and I was struggling with stuff. There was some things going on in the family, not necessarily like bad things. We were just emotional things. You know, some of it was just transitioning here and just needing the Lord to be with us and direct us. I was totally distracted, and everybody's coming to a stop, and it's a good thing it was like coming to a slow stop. Everybody's coming to a stop at a red light, and I didn't stop. And it's a good thing I was already pushing on the brake, because I just tapped the guy's bumper. Just tapped it. He got out. He was in a hurry. I did nothing to his bumper. My bumper was fine. Everything was good. Whew. But you know what happened after that? I was awake, right? I was sobered up. I mean, all that adrenaline just comes pumping into your body, and you realize, what was I thinking? I was looking at the phone. I was distracted emotionally. I'm not even paying attention. There's a car in front of me, right? And it just sobered me up. And honestly, it didn't just sober me up like, oh man, I better drive safe, you know. I put the phone down, put it on audio so that I can just hear the directions and such. And I realized, man, I got so much going on inside of my heart, my emotions. I wasn't even paying attention. That's bad. And sometimes that happens to us in life, huh? Something just, boom, just smack us like that. A decision we make and it's a bad decision. And it needs to sober us up and realize, why am I doing that? So often, this is what the Lord does in my life. I'll tell you, this is just, I'm not perfect at this. I'm not a perfect man or anything. By any means, I'm still on the journey. But this is something that the Lord has taught me for so many years of my life, to let Him search my heart. Listen to this verse. I'm trying to wrap this up here. Verse 23 of Psalm 139. Listen to what David says. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, test me, and know my anxieties. Know what's going on inside of my heart. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. David's saying, hey, Lord, I'm praying that the light of God would shine in my heart, expose my heart. If there's anything that offends you, if there's any wicked way, if there's anything that's bent, if I'm going in the wrong direction, Lord, search me. And this is what I've learned, not in any way condemnation, but the Lord lovingly coming to me as a loving Father, to deal with me on stuff. And He's done this time and time again. It's one of the things that is, it was one of the keys that has set me free from so many things. When the Lord would come to me and say, I could give you 100 examples, but let me give you a few real quick. Hey David, why are you being so defensive? Not realizing that the way I'm reacting to other people is actually hurting that relationship. I remember one time the Lord asked me this. Why are you so serious? I mean, I'm passionate. Why are you so serious? And the Lord lovingly began to help me understand, man, enjoy life. You can enjoy life because I enjoy you. You can enjoy people because I enjoy you. You can enjoy church because I enjoy you. In fact, you know, because me, I was, oh, I got to do spiritual warfare, you know, praying. And He was like, I already won the victory. Like, you can actually pray. And I mean, do spiritual warfare, like binding and loosening and praying. And you can do it from a place of like, man, I got the victory, right? And the Lord began to heal me. This is years ago. And I'm still passionate. I'm still serious sometimes. But what I mean is, I'm so at rest. My wife said this to me the other day. I got to tell you because I liked it. And it's not really, it's not about me. This is about the Lord. She said to me, "You're so at rest." She said, "You're more at rest than you ever have been since I've met you." She's known me for, we've been married almost 15 years. She knew me, what, 3 or 4 years more than that, right? Almost 20 years. She's known me. She said, "You're so much more at rest." And she's right, I am. And I'm not saying that about me. That's the Lord. Because I used to be so stressed or anxious or all this stuff, try to control things. And I'm not saying I still don't need some work, but I really am. In fact, a couple months ago, it was early part of the summer. And the Lord said to me, "Why aren't you rejoicing?" And I thought, "I don't know." And you know what I've been doing lately? Just besides, just normal worship and prayer, I've just been rejoicing. And I've just been embracing it and talking to the Lord, letting Him deal with me. Hey, don't let something steal your joy. Sometimes just life wears us down, you know? And the Lord's just been talking to me in my heart. This is what I'm trying to say. The Lord wants to come and expose how we're doing things. He's done this with me, with my relationship with my wife so often. Me thinking that I'm reacting to her for not realizing, she's reacting to me. Sometimes I say things, we get into an argument, and about 10 minutes later, I'm thinking, I don't even know what I said. I don't even know why we're arguing. And this happened long time ago, like a week ago, because I'm a different man. I had to come to my wife and say, "I don't know what I said to you, but clearly you have a problem." No, she became defensive and all this stuff. And I realized I had to say, "I am so sorry. I don't even know what I said. We're in this argument. Clearly I said something that hurt you. Like, I started it. Does it make sense? I don't even know what I did. But I said something that triggered something in her." So this is why Proverbs 4 says this. And we'll end with this. This is why it says, "Keep your heart with all diligence." But notice the verse before that. He says, "Pay attention to my words." In verse 20, "Keep them." Keep my words in the midst of your heart. Keep my words in the midst of your heart. Why? Because His word, the Bible says, is light unto my feet and lamp unto my path. The Bible says the entrance of His word brings light. Guess how the Lord searches us? With the light of His word. And by the Holy Spirit. It says this about our own spirit in Proverbs 20, verse 27. "The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart." So the Holy Spirit, with our own spirit that's born again now, takes the word of God like a light and shines it into our hearts. The more word you have, the more light you have. The more you spend time with Jesus, the more that He can get with you and coach you, mentor you, and say, "Why do you think like that?" See, the Bible says a fool hates correction. But what's crazy about that is the person who hates correction is resisting the love of God. Because if the Bible says God corrects those He loves, and a fool hates correction, then the person is hating the love of God. Isn't that interesting? But that if we really believe that God loves us and He's got our interest, best interest in mind, we'll run to the Word of God and say, "God, show me. I want to be a different person. I want to be like Jesus." And we open our hearts. And this is the most bold prayer you could ever pray. "Search me, O God." That's the kind of man I want to be. A vulnerable, authentic, transparent person. Say, "Lord, search me. You got an issue with me? Let me know. I'd rather know now than in heaven." You know what I'm saying? Shock me now. Let's talk about it here. I don't want to get there and think, "Ooh, we didn't talk about that." So here's the thing. Let me just say it this way real quick. Start asking yourself why. Ask yourself, why did I say that? Why did I do that? And ask the Lord to search you. It's not condemnation. It's saying, Lord, help me to see what's going on in my own heart. Like maybe if you have an argument with somebody or something happens, "Lord, why did I respond that way? What's going on in me?" And then follow people who have fruit in their life, where you see somebody who's healthy, has healthy relationships, seeing the power of God in their life, follow that example and even receive correction from them. I don't mean from untrustworthy people. I don't mean from people who are going to judge you. I mean people that you can trust to say, hey, give me wisdom.